Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
On stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most
11,
of the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show right here on the Horn. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn the conversation to conservation. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and CityNet, citynet.net. B1 Louder by ringing 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366, or use your free minutes by dialing direct 304-658-5453. Yeah. Your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
What a night! Well, day here, but that's just a technicality. Holy crap! Was that just amazing? I mean, did you really believe, you know, 6 months ago that we would have been holding the end of the convention in a 75,000 capacity stadium. I mean, you know, that this is just like a new kind of cool. I'm amazed. And so, you know, I'm sitting there looking through. I got some protester stuff. We'll cover that throughout the evening. But I reckon, you know what? We play this thing kind of as a little bit of a music show from time to time. So figured that's really what we should do tonight. There's no reason to kill the bloody party. You know, we've got a lot of fighting coming up ahead of us. But, you know, this is the final night of the party. All right. You know, sometimes you got to let your head down, have a little fun. And I've said it before, I hope that on inauguration night, someone hijacks the playlist, and we hear some Funkadelic on inauguration night. I think it would just, you know, the opening jam at the inauguration party. That would suit me, and that would be Chocolate City. It is the song, and I just have to play this. I have to play this. And it's interesting. I was picking out songs for tonight, and just after I added, and we'll play it a little bit later, the Neville Brothers, Brother's Keeper, Obama made the line about us needing to be our brother's keeper. And I think that that is a crucially important sentiment to have as we try, to try and change just the way it all goes down. You know, it's all been just so ugly and everything else, but, you know, and everybody out for themselves, which just sucks. It's time for a new day, and I'm not like being all, you know, kind of all kumbaya about it. It's not that. We fought hard for this. 8 years of just shit. So, you know, I think we are due a little bit of celebration for having brought this nation maybe a little bit closer to sanity, just one more step closer. So, without further ado, Funkadelic with Chocolate City.
Oh, what's happening, CC? They still call it the White House, but that's a temporary condition, too. Can you dig it, CC? To each his reach, and if I don't cop, it ain't mine to have. But I'll be reaching for you, because I love you, CC. Right on. There's a lot of chocolate cities around. We've got Newark, we've got Gary. Somebody told me we got L.A. And we're working on Atlanta. You're the capital. Can't you feel my breath? All up around your neck. Hey, CC. They say you jive and game and can't be changed. But on the positive side, you're my piece of the rock, and I love you, CC. And you dig it. Hey, we didn't get our 40 acres and a mule, but we did get you, CC. Yeah. Gaining on ya. Moving in around ya. God bless CC and his yellow suburbs. What's up, man, Black? Brother Black, blood even. fun and getting down. A blood to blood, a player to lady. The last percentage count was 80. You don't need the bullet when you got the valley. Are you up for the downstroke, CC? Chocolate City. Are you with me out there? And when they come to march on you, tell them to make sure they got their James Brown pass. And don't be surprised if Ali is in the White House. Reverend Ike, Secretary of the Treasury. Richard Pryor, Minister of Education. Stevie Wonder, Secretary of Fine Arts. And Miss Aretha Franklin, the First Lady. Are you out there, CC? A Chocolate City is no dream. It's my piece of the rock. And I dig you, CC. God bless Chocolate City and its vanilla suburbs. Can y'all get to that? In your stuff. Can't get enough. Be more fun. Be more fun. And we funk it too. Right on, Chocolate City.
Funkadelic there, and yeah. They call it the White House, but that's only a temporary situation. Bob says I'm a little clippy. Is that via the phones there, sir, or is that what you're hearing down the stream? See, we're, you know, this is a new experiment that we're doing here, so, okay. Well, I wonder if the phone call connection might be a little bit too much for my system over here. It's all, you know, we're going to have to see what goes down. But we'll see how things go. I do want to try this out, though, because I think it'll be a cool thing if we can make it work out. What we're trying to do is set it up so that I can take phone calls from the home studio as I stream from here. But I tell you what, while we work out some of that, we're going to go on to another track. And as I said in the chat room earlier tonight, if I was corrected that there was no roof. We'll hold on to that track. We're going to try this experiment here. Our good friend David from Maine is on the line. Hey, David, how are you? You got me there?
Good evening, John.
How are you, man?
I'm fine. It's not too distorted over there?
No, it's clean as a bell coming to me. It's all just whether we got enough room in the old pipe for the packets to pass. But, yeah, we're seeing how this all goes. And it seems to
all
be
right,
crystal.
That's good. Well, I wanted to test you. Do you know who's playing the sax on that track?
Oh, mate, you know you're going to always be able to out-P-Funk me.
No. I'm going to give you a hint.
Okay.
Before George Clinton, there was
James Brown.
Or George Clinton. Yes, okay, okay. Now, in James Brown's band, there was...
Oh, you're going to kill me here, mate. You're going to kill me here, because I can't, I don't stand a chance.
Okay, it was Maceo Parker.
Oh! Is he on that?
Well, you know, the reason why I know that is because, I know that Maceo, for a time, was, played saxophone with, Parliament off and on and did a few sessions. Not really the, official sax player, but he did his, gigs here and there off and on, a few tours, stuff like that. That's the way the mothership worked. So.
Well, but, that's what was great about the mothership, you know. There was just, it was, and we've talked about it before, you know, it was more an outlet of a community than it was a particular band, you know, in many ways. And so, you know, you have people come in and out, and but yet it's all still the same thing, you know. But it's still some of the best stuff that's ever been put down to.
You know, it was like a pantheon, like Frank Zappa had his pantheon, and George Clinton had theirs.
Yep. Yep, and you know we're getting some more modern ones. We're getting, you know, we got Trent Reznor, Nine Inch Nails, and the stuff that he's been doing with other people, and starting to build on that. And you know, we've mentioned it before, Maynard from Tool in A Perfect Circle. You know, how prolific is that guy? And you know, if you were putting together a project and you could get him to sing for you, would you turn him down? Hell no.
No, hell no is right. I did want to mention one thing. The Spearhead album should probably be leaking in about, I don't know, 2 minutes.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it's going to be leaking that soon, but, I mean, I'm sure people already have promo copies already. They're about to load them up on the web or whatever.
Oh, yeah, and...
But I'll let you know.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to talk, before I get into that, also, the bass player, on that was Bootsy, and Bootsy Collins and Buckethead and Greg Hampton, this guitarist from L.A., they have a project coming out called Science Faction, and it's a concept album from the year 2999, and it's supposed to be pretty impressive, and I heard a little bit of Bootsy promoting it, and it sounds like an interesting project, so... I don't know, John. Maybe you could get someone from Science Faction or something.
Yeah, I want to check that out, because I got to say, you know, a few months ago, I finally actually had a bit of a closer look at that Buckethead kid. And, you know, I kind of overgrew my shredders a little bit, but I tell you what, I really like the way that kid plays. You know, he's just kind of, and that, you know, persona that he uses to basically be able to be a normal guy when he's not playing. I love it. He so reminds me of a mate of mine in Texas I used to play with.
well, you know, he, in the last 4 years, I think he's released something like 40 albums.
Yeah, and I reckon that whole stint with, Guns N' Roses was all just to get his name up a little bit bigger.
Oh, I got a good story for that. But before I get into the stories that I wanted to hit and talk about, cultural stories that a lot of people didn't pick up, but I think they're relevant to the days.
All right, mate.
You know, I'm going to talk about the Obama speech. I thought it was probably the best oratorial speech that I've seen in my lifetime for the presidential.
No doubt. No doubt.
I think it's important for people to see that kind of thing around the world and see that we do care about prose and we do care about style and we do care about grace. Now all we have to do is back it up.
That's been my point all along. You know, we can't put all the weight on him. You know, that's just ridiculous. It's actually, you know, taking advantage of the situation of having someone who might just listen. And then taking advantage of that and, you know, then hammering him over things like, you know, go ahead, check out how much clean coal is a pipe dream and has never been done and can't be done. And then you're able to turn around and say, hey, you know what? That's not feasible. Let's put the money into something else.
You know, I hope they keep going with the ideas, and I hope Al Gore's camp and the people that he has over at Current TV, they share ideas back and forth. if Barack is closer and closer to the White House, because I would like to see a really next 21st century president that isn't so focused on scaring the public and perception management. I think perception management is, I mean, first of all, it's too stressful, and second of all, I mean, you know, it really comes down to people got to learn how to sacrifice. And people can't, and see, that's the other thing. I mean, people in this country, they can't be afraid of sacrifice. Mm-hmm. We seem to have a lot of people in this country who are.
I totally agree, but let me just jump in here, mate. Bob's just sent me a link. Yeah. This has just come down from the Washington Post. And this might this might just show you exactly how impressive Barack Obama was tonight. GOP considers delaying convention. The Republican officials said they're saying because of Tropical Storm Gustav, which is on track to hit the Gulf Coast and possibly New Orleans. But you know, kind of as Bob says, how convenient. Because I don't know if you heard Sue when she rang into the horn section. She saw McCain go and congratulate Obama, and he looked shit scared.
Yeah, maybe that was part of it. Maybe he saw the eye of the storm, literally.
Oh yeah, I think there's definitely a connection to be made here, and I think John McCain saw that and said, "I don't stand a snowball's chance in hell on a cold day."
But you know, this is something that I don't know. The Republicans gotta backtrack and rethink and plan a different way. And I really don't know what to make of that. And I guess that we'll have to wait and see what the convention looks like. But I do have to say, I think it's kind of embarrassing that one of the guys that got to roll with him, not just Daddy Yankee, which is just, oh my God, don't ever play any of his stuff.
No, I won't. Refuse. It's not even getting on my computer.
Okay. The other guy that is rolling for McCain is this guy named Cowboy Troy. I don't know. Not from Pee Wee's Playhouse.
That just sounds like a gay dancer.
I know it does, but he's the first black rapping cowboy.
Okay. Okay.
I can't make this up, and he's from Texas. And he's actually he's actually had hits. I can't make it up. He's part of a country music songwriting team called Music Mafia. Anyways, I guess Cowboy Troy, I don't know if he's going to play at the convention or he's going to be the official. They're going to have the official song for him or something. I don't know, but they're going to do something with him.
Yeah, and McCain's had some song trouble through the campaign. There's no doubt about that. He's been busted so many times.
But the reason why I did call, I wanted, of course, to mention the Barack Obama speech, and everyone's going to be talking about that. But I really did want to hit some things that I think are kind of important.
Okay, Mike.
And first one is... If anyone knows Dr. Dre, you should know that his 20-year-old son passed away on Saturday.
Ooh.
And you know, Dre's no newbie to tragedy.
No.
His brother died when he was, I think, like 10 or 8 years old, and it kind of inspired him more to be a DJ. It's interesting. There are not really any official details on how he died, but, you know, some people say it could be cough syrup or a combination of nothing really that heavy drug-wise, just like kind of like one of those freak accidents.
Yeah.
But, I just wanted to those people who I'm familiar with, Dre, well, I would say he would be like the symbolic phoenix, because he would rise from the ashes again and again.
Yeah.
First he was with Ruthless Records, NWA, and then NWA crashed. He had a fallout with Ruthless, and then he went with Death Row Records with Suge Knight. And that was for a little bit of time. And then that one, that one crashed and burned. Or they had a real big falling out. He couldn't get with the intimidation and the gangs that were currently affiliated on the label and the craziness over there. So he darted out on death row without his masters, mind you, without his publishing. He left with nothing.
Oh, you're kidding.
When he went to death row.
Wow.
Then he started up a label, Aftermath. And then, of course, you know, the rest is history. Someone brought Eminem to him, and they started working. Right now he's gearing up for his new album, which is called Detox. Been working on it for about 5 or 6 years, and people are saying it's going to be the new sonic innovation. And a lot of people are talking about his drums and how amazing his drums are. But yeah, I just wanted to say that that's kind of a hard thing for someone to lose their son in a public way like that, and probably especially because I'm sure Dre has an injury. Because if anyone's not familiar with Dre, he's known to be like a studioholic, and he's not really around his family that much. So
yeah,
I can understand how. That's one of those moments where you go like, damn, you know, you kind of wish. I bet you when he was in the studio and stuff like that, he wished, well, wow, I wish I could spend more time with my kids, and go, well, I'm going to do that eventually. Yeah. And then, you know, to have something happen like that.
Yeah, he'll be second guessing himself a fair bit, I would reckon. That is tragic. And I didn't realize that every time he's, you know, kind of picked up and rebuilt, that, you know, there have been situations where, you know, he gave up all of his masters and publishing. I mean, that says he wanted to get the hell out of the situation, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I mean, it's probably made him a different person, and I just wanted to let people know about, you know, something that happened over the weekend in music, which I consider like he's like a catalyst in music. You don't have to like him. Here's my philosophy. You don't have to like Dre. You don't have to like his music. You just have to recognize, as a catalyst in the industry, what he's done, no one else is going to be able to touch.
Right.
No one. Because just the fact that he's right next to Jimmy Iovine, that's crazy in itself. I mean, Jimmy Iovine he's basically one of the gods of the music industry. If you want to put it out there like that.
Well, you know, there are people out there that their particular version of the art, them, you know, that they created may not have connected with everyone, but then they go and influence the next generation in ways that impact, you know, the entire genres. I mean, you know, it's the old Beatle argument that I used to have with a friend of mine who said years ago, he said, I in no way like the Beatles, and nothing I listen to has ever been influenced by the Beatles. And I used to just look at him going, you're a fool. You listen to Creedence Clearwater Revival, not influenced by the Beatles? Bullshit. Just kind of going down the line. He was a huge Hooters fan back in the day. It's just like, you're telling me that those guys didn't listen to the Beatles and some of those chord progressions were not influenced by the Beatles? You're out of your mind.
Yeah, and another thing, speaking of musicians, that's another thing that a lot of people should understand. I give props to Dr. Dre for this. When Parliament Funkadelic were on the downturn, he put them out there again in full force. Mm-hmm. With the musicians, if they were to do show appearances, and also with the kind of themes that they would play in their music, they would have... sometimes they would throw in P-Funk riffs and stuff like that, but you would see in the credits, and he really did have a he really did pay respect and honor to those that came before him in that respect. So I kind of give it up to him for that, because he was the one, you know, who rocked a Funkadelic shirt on MTV, mm-hmm. And that was when George Clinton and the band, they were just getting back together and in 92, and they were just, you know, they were still on hanging around Paisley Park Records, and they were still trying to get, you know, tours, and they would, and you know, it was around that time where like Grateful Dead was still kind of touring and stuff like that, and they needed to get their live shows together more, and that put the word out more culturally that of how much of an influence that George Clinton and P-Funk were. So there's your tie-in.
Oh yeah, and all during that time, it was when Perry Farrell ended up reintroducing Funkadelic and P-Funk to the new young white grungy audience, because then suddenly they popped up on Lollapalooza's and were just knocking them dead. And the early dates, you had all these long-haired flannel-wearing white kids going, "What is this?" And we're just instantly huge P-Funk fans, and Emmylou Harris kind of did a similar thing, exposed herself to a completely different audience that didn't know of her, and ended up gaining a whole bunch of a new, a massive new fan base.
You know, that's the thing that a lot of people don't realize, that if you go back to West Coast hip-hop in general, you'll see that they push the movement for music to become more melodic and to involve more instrumentation, whereas the East Coast was more sample-oriented, and then they finally caught up to the West Coast, and they were like, "Oh, you mean it'll sound better if we use these kind of instruments?" And then you had groups like The Roots and so forth and stuff like that. But that's true. That's what happened. I mean, originally hip-hop was and is a live band, but the live band played samples. It was the Sugar Hill Records Band, and that was with Doug Wimbish and Keith LeBlanc.
Right.
And Skip something. And then, you just had that band, and they would play like what you heard on the record when you heard Rapper's Delight. That was the band actually playing. They were playing the grooves. They were playing the Chic, Good Times. They were playing Bernard Edwards Line. But a lot of people, they don't realize that. When they started that record company, so, it was almost like in the West Coast, they went full circle, and then it's come back now, and you can hear it. It's slowly seeping back in, the musicianship and everything.
Yeah.
But, I just wanted to mention that, and I have two more stories.
Make them quick, because I got a couple of songs I have to get in before we get out of here.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm gonna let you go now, and I'll save those for another time.
Okay, man. Okay, because I'm in a slightly truncated show tonight, so I don't mean to run you off, but thanks for the news on Dr. Dre and his kid. That's really unfortunate. I'll go and have a look and see what's going on with that man. But really good to talk to you. Thanks for playing this test on whether we could do this, and it's successful. So we'll do this again, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, John. I'll see you Monday.
All right, mate. Okay. All right, folks. Let's move on to the music. Always good to hear from David. I hate to cut him off, but I have to do this. It's a moral imperative. Straight as though it was sent to me, via the universe. The Neville Brothers, one of my favorite songs. Brothers Keeper. Thanks, Obama. It was awesome.
Help me if I can. There go I for for the grace of God. It could even be the Lord.
Come again.
He was a field shelter a long time ago. Let's not be as foolish as they were before.
Had to be my brother's keeper, though he be strong or weak. I got to lend him a helping hand. No matter what his color, true God is still my brother. I got to help him if I can.
As the institutionalized gum ghettos where poverty takes its toll. I see drugs rezoned while in another part of town a young man lies bleeding in the cold. I see hearts and minds suffocating as if by God they have been forsaken. While the pillars of Babylon crumble at the foundations like the walls of Jericho, they will come tumbling down.
Got to be my brother's keeper, though he be strong or weaker. I've got to lend him a helping hand. No matter what his color, true God is still my brother. I've got to help him if I can. Got to be my brother's keeper, though he be strong or weaker.
Just a classic, classic track. I love, you know, and hear the atheist, you know, but, you know, there's spiritual music that gets me, you know, and it's not because of the God factor. It's due to the, you know, things like that, you know, caring for others, you know. I think it's one of those things that those of us that fall into the agnostic and the atheist type of categorization just see as being a given. You know, we have this life to get it right, and if we don't take care of, you know, each other, we're all screwed. But here, I have to go to another Funkadelic. You know, this is just a music show, but I said before Obama came out, I said, when he comes out, they're going to blow the roof off. And I was reminded in the chat room that there was no roof on the stadium, but still the sentiment works. also from Parliament and Funkadelic, give up the funk, tear the roof off, sucka.
Tear the roof off, we're going to tear the roof off, the mother sucker. Tear the roof off, the sucker. Tear the roof off, we're gonna tear the roof off the mother sucker. Tear the roof off the sucker. Tear the roof off, we're gonna tear the roof off the mother sucker. Tear the roof off the sucker. Tear the roof off, we're gonna tear the roof off the mother sucker. Tear the roof off the sucker.
It nails it pretty well. Well, we're coming up on the end of things. I gotta say big congratulations to Mark and Guy and Bob and everybody who made the convention coverage happen. It was just too cool. Thanks, Ben Birch. You were amazing. You know, this is why we do this, and I think it was a success all around. If I can just put the little, you know, bit of an exclamation point at the end of the party, cool. And so everybody should be, you know, feeling pretty good at the moment, but, you know, starting tomorrow, it's fight time, baby, and we got to go out there and just keep this momentum going, and maybe possibly we will have a chance to have some influence and take control over our government once again. It's going to be a long, long, hard slog. So, as per usual, I'd like to thank the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch for everything that they do for us. And as I'm working on trying to get my playout to play here, and it won't play. Why is that? It won't play. Uh-oh. Okay. Bugger. Well, we'll play something else to get the hell out of here. But anyway, it's, you know, it's been a really good day. Thanks to Coal River Mountain Watch. As you know, go over to coalriverwind.org and sign the petition if you haven't yet. And so I guess with this, I played it yesterday. We'll play it again today. What the hell? A little bit of Saul Williams, because I'm sorry. In 2008, August is Black History Month. As we say here on Foxed Up, everybody, be good. Be green. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend.
Nothing can save ya. I'm tougher than bullets, so baby, pray to your savior. I've never been shot, but I bet you I'm braver. I'm taking my spot, nigga, I ain't afraid to. Baby, sometimes I find it very hard to be. May. You're the banana peels and carefully raisins. So keep your show toes carefully raisins. You're in the sink of God, carefully raisins. Now if the boss is, turn up the bass.
Picture me, lamping in the company car. Rims like Tibetan prayer wheels, nigga, what, I'm a star. I cruise the block till I land. Ask the song in your ear, or the book in your hand. Now, this fucking world is about to know who I am. Get your whole system up in my trunk. That dog eat dog, make my woofers bark. Atomic drunk, all my trill niggas know who be bringing the funk. Leaves and shout toes like it's Black History Month.
You're the banana peel that carefully raises. So keep this old toes carefully raised.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain